We go to the swamps of Louisiana, where there's a homecoming in progress. Robert returning for his 30th birthday. However, all is not well down there in the swamps, as Robert's father is not eager to see him because he has to confront himself in his son. In this story called, rather lightly, The Birthday Party. It's Radio City Playhouse from July 25th, 1949.
The National Broadcasting Company presents Radio City Playhouse, Attraction 48. Ladies and gentlemen, here is the director of Radio City Playhouse, Harry W. Junkin.
Thank you, Fred. Tonight, friends, we are happy to present a script by a young author who is new to Radio City Playhouse. His name is Cheryl Hendricks, and at 26 years of age, he has been a newsboy, a golf caddy, a farmhand, an undertaker's assistant, a circus barker, a boiler room flunky in the Merchant Marine, and a GI in India and Burma. His short stories and articles have appeared in many magazines, and he has just completed his first novel. Now he is interested in radio, and we hope to present more of his work in the very near future. We are also happy to welcome to the Playhouse for the first time Mr. Charles Penman, who plays the difficult and taxing role of Henry Spotter, ably supported by Sylvia Davis as Rosalind. Here, then, is The Birthday Party by Cheryl Hendricks, starring Charles Penman as Henry and Sylvia Davis as Rosalind, Attraction 48 on Radio City Playhouse.
A house, a large, expensive house, much like other large, expensive houses, except that the trees that hang over the porch have no leaves, only long, slimy ropes of moss that tangle about the branches, blotting out the sky above. There's no fancy terraced yard, only the planks that hold the house up out of the black swamp water that curls stagnantly about the porch and trees and disappears into the hot, fog-like steam. In the living room of the house, a man sits filing at a mounting plaque of a tiger head. His wife sits knitting, squinting carefully at the yarn, at times glancing nervously at her husband or at the animal heads mounted on the walls. Even inside, she can hear the distant noises of the swamp above the monotonous sound of the filing.
Oh, it'll be so nice to have him back. It's been 5 years, Henry, and now he's coming home for an evening. Henry, I've got an idea. We'll have Jesse put the birthday cake on the table in here, and I'll play Happy Birthday on the piano. The dampness hasn't ruined the strings again. That would be nice, don't you think, Henry? Henry, it's just for one evening. He's our son, Henry. He's coming back for his 30th birthday all the way from New York. We'll have supper and play cards, just the three of us. And then we'll...
I told you, Rosalind, I don't want to see him ever again.
Henry, do I ever ask anything of you? Anything for myself?
You're a good wife, Rosalind. But I won't have him here.
But Henry, just for one night, why can't you forget that...
You know why as well as I do. He doesn't seem to think I meant what I said. But let him come. We'll see.
But Henry, he'll be gone again in the morning. Can't you be nice to him for one evening? Try to forget everything for tonight. And... Oh. Henry, please don't sit there filing on those hunting trophies. Listen to me. I've never complained about living in this swamp, have I? If we have to live here, we have to live here, and that's all. But why build this mansion of a house if we can't even have our own son home? Why? Why can't we...
Who is it?
It's Jesse, sir.
Well, come in. Don't stand out there in the hall.
I heard the taxi boat coming out through the swamp, sir. I was wondering if you'd like dinner served as soon as he gets here.
Why, yes, Jesse, I think so. Is it all right with you, Henry? Henry, is... Oh, yes, Jesse, serve it as soon as he comes. And spread it nice across the dining room table like you used to, will you, Jesse?
Yes, ma'am.
And build a good, cheerful fire in the fireplace and put out all the lights so it's real light and everything, will you?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, there's the boat now.
Oh, it sure sounds bad on the swamp tonight. There's too much fog laying over everything, choking up everything, like bad things.
Oh. You just cook up a good meal and turn on lots of lights in the dining room, Jesse. We'll pretend it's New York.
Yes, ma'am.
Jesse.
Yes, sir?
My wife seems to be very forgetful tonight. She seems to have forgotten that when Mr. Robert was home, we used to eat out on the porch.
Henry, you're not suggesting...
We didn't move into the middle of Louisiana in order to pretend we're living in New York. We'll have dinner on the porch, Jesse.
Henry.
Set the table at the corner where we used to tie the boat. Close to the water where we can hear the night swamp sounds. Well, what are you waiting for?
Yes, sir.
Henry, please. Why do you have to spoil everything by...
It's our son's birthday. He's coming home for the first time in 5 years.
Yes.
I'm sure after he's been gone so long, he'd like to find things just as they've always been.
Well, son, how has everything been?
Fine, Mother, fine.
It's good to have you home for your birthday.
I'm glad to be here, Mother. You're both looking awfully well.
Oh.
Dad, you're looking just as strong and healthy as ever. Can you still chin yourself with one arm?
Oh, your father's not as young as he used to be, Robert.
Who, Dad? Oh, it'd take more than a little gray hair to stop you, wouldn't it, Dad?
I had Jesse make sausage cakes just for you, Robert. Are they good?
Oh, they're very good, Mother. Very good. And how is Jesse? I've hardly spoken to him since I got in.
He's still the same old Jesse.
Yes, Jesse's still the same. Still believes there are voodoo ghosts out in these swamps. You could offer him all the gold in the world, and Jesse wouldn't dream of taking a boat out in these swamps at night. Jesse's made out of a yellow mold, you know. He's always afraid that...
Are the potatoes done enough, Robert?
Oh, yes, Mother, they're fine. It's a wonderful meal. But it's... kind of damp out here, isn't it?
It was my idea to eat on the porch, Robert. I thought you'd like it. I had Jesse set the table out here especially for you.
Did you, Dad?
Yes. I always say a man likes to spend as much time out of rooms as he can.
Yeah, that's right, Dad.
I like to sit and look at the shadows of the moss hanging down from the trees. You can't tell from here whether it's moss or snakes. It might be nothing, or it might be...
Henry!
Might be anything. A man likes to live in the middle of the world, not coupled up in a room. A man likes
to... Henry, let's eat dessert.
Yes, let's eat dessert. We have all evening to talk about men and swamps, don't we, Robert?
We'll talk about whatever you like, Dad.
How's the dessert, Robert?
Oh, fine, Mother. Delicious.
Good.
I've always liked coconut pudding. You can't get it anywhere else like this. Dad, do you still like coconut pudding the way you used to?
No, Robert, your father still likes cherry pie about as well as anything. Henry, I'll make you a cherry pie with the whipped cream top. Oh, there go those awful drums.
Awful drums, Rosalind? But they're just plain, ordinary drums. They're only awful to cowards and superstitious fools.
Yes, Mother, they're just drums, that's all.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Robert. It's all right for a woman to be frightened of such things, but it could hardly be more than spineless of a man, could it?
It's getting chilly out here. I think I'll go in.
Chilly? Out here? Nonsense, Robert. Your hands are sweating. As I was saying, we've always, always had spines in our family, haven't we? Men, big game hunters, explorers, soldiers, afraid of nothing.
Yes, Dad, that's true.
Of course, that's not counting swamps and boat rides. What's the matter, Robert? You spilled your coffee.
I couldn't help it. I
still the same old Robin. 5 years have made no difference. Boat rides, the squeal of a mouse, it makes no difference. How could you be my son?
Jimmy, let's have our...
Go in the house and take another look at my trophies. It took guts to bring tigers back alive. It took courage to cut your way through the jungles where human feet have never touched before. How could you be my son?
Dad, please. Do we have to go into it again? You know what upsets Mother, and
My dear son hasn't changed a bit in 5 years. Not one bit.
Henry, stop it, stop it.
He's still afraid. Afraid of everything. He's still afraid of boat riding on the swamp at night.
Dad, please. I just came home for a visit to see you. I thought you'd be pleased. Can't we just be civil and quiet and just visit?
My son, the son of Henry Spotter, and just as yellow and spineless as ever. You're weak, Robert, and the weak have no right to live.
You're wrong, Dad. Weak people have every right to live. That's why I'm...
Henry, sit down, please.
No.
Please don't spoil things, Henry.
He's a coward. He's a coward, and he's yellow, and he's no good.
Henry, don't. Henry, please come back and finish your pudding. Oh, Robert, I'd hoped so much we could have had a happy evening.
I guess he'll never change.
Don't say that, Robert, please.
I don't mind his ranting, Mom. He's not happy unless he's yelling at somebody. But he'll never change. You're wearing yourself out trying to...
I just can't give him up, Robert. I can't give up.
Oh, what a horrible place to live. Slimy moss, that filthy water.
He won't live anywhere else, Robert. And even if he would... I don't think we'd be able to.
Oh, Mom, come to New York with me. Call it a day and come back with me in the morning.
Oh, no.
There's no use going on and torturing yourself just because Dad...
No, Robert. I'll stay with him. Maybe you won't understand this, but I can't leave him. You see, I remember him as he was. Gentle, kind, wonderful. He feels that this is the only place he can live now, and I guess it is.
But, Mother, you're only 50. Does he have to ruin your life? Keep you walled up in a stinking, dirty swamp like this with a bunch of animal heads and hunting trophies? You don't have to live here, Mom.
He's my husband, Robert. I love him.
You couldn't love him. Not now. You couldn't.
Yes, dear. You see, I love him now for what he was.
I'm sorry, Mom.
That's all right.
You've always been like this, quiet and loyal and... I guess I shouldn't have come. He hates me so much that... What's the matter, Mom?
A boat. Out there by the porch, I... Oh, it's just Jesse.
Oh, Jesse in the flat-bottom boat. Hello, Jesse.
Jesse, why are you getting the flat-bottom boat out?
Mr. Henry told me to, ma'am. He said he wanted it left right here. Hooked in a porch rail.
Oh? Is he planning to go fishing tomorrow or something? Jesse, I asked you why Mr. Henry wants the boat.
I don't know, ma'am. He just told me to hook it here to the boat rail and leave it.
But, Jesse, I don't think...
I don't know, ma'am. Honest, I don't know. I'll go in now and get the fireplace going so it'll be more cheerful.
Yes. Robert, I'm frightened.
Maybe he just wants the boat out here for... Well,
no,
for...
Robert, I'm scared. I didn't think he meant it. I didn't think he'd do anything but yell at you, as always.
Oh, Mom, now, don't make a mountain out of a molehill. Everybody wants their boat out sometimes. Let's go in by the fire and forget it,
shall we? No, Robert, this is dangerous.
No nonsense. Now, come on inside.
No.
Lots of people leave their boats hooked to the front porch all the time.
You don't understand, Robert. This is the first time that boat's been out since the last night you were here.
So you've come in, have you? Was it too cold outside?
Yes, it was, Henry. We decided to sit in here by the fire.
Won't you join us, Dad? Come on.
Thank you. Here we are, the three of us together.
Yeah, here we are.
Yes, it's lovely, isn't it? It's just like we...
Just like 5 years ago. Is that what you were going to say, Rosalind?
Yes.
I see the card table's up so we can play cards just like we did that night. Why, I'll bet there's even a boat tied out to the porch. Everything just like it was 5 years ago.
Look, Dad, let's for... Let's forget it. Let's just be comfortable and quiet and play cards. Tonight has nothing to do with 5 years ago.
It has lots to do with 5 years ago. 5 years ago on this very day, you were 25, and you gave me the final proof that you are nothing but a lousy yellow coward.
Henry, please,
I've given you every chance. All your life I've given you every chance. You remember Africa, don't you, Robert? And how I had to leave you with your mother in Casablanca. Oh. My son was too yellow to go into the jungle.
If we're going on all night like this, we're...
Keep quiet, Rosalind. Don't stand up for him. You think he was just a child then? Just a boy? That's why I waited. Waited for him to grow up.
Then wait now, Henry. Wait until he leaves before you...
No, Rosalind, he's not a child now. He wasn't a child when I brought us to this swamp. He was a grown man of 25, but he trembled like a baby, even at these stupid half-caste superstitions. You both remember, I gave him his chance 5 years ago. 5 years ago tonight, I gave him his chance, his last chance. Yes. And did he take it? No. He believes some ghost of an alligator would snap him up if he paddled out in that swamp. I don't claim you. You've no right to be my son.
Oh.
Not my son.
Henry, it's his birthday.
Well, I didn't ask him back. I didn't ask him back with his stinking pale face. You're still afraid, aren't you, Robert? Aren't you?
Robert.
The boat's out there now. If you're not yellow anymore, go out and take the boat out into that swamp alone.
But, Henry...
Well, will you take the boat out now? I didn't think you would.
Let's play cards, Henry. Come on, now let's play cards.
That's right. That's right, we played cards that night, too.
Pull up your chair to the table, Henry, and we'll play.
All right, Rosalind, but first I'll open these doors out onto the porch. It's nicer that way, and you won't have so far to go, Robert, if you decide to take a boat ride. Ah, here we are. Everything just like it was. Robert's birthday and the three of us playing cards.
I wish you'd forget that, Dad. 5 years have passed.
I won't forget it, nor will you.
I'm sorry, Mom, but I'm leaving.
No, Robert,
there's
no.
Absolutely no use
Don't
going
give
on.
Up yet, Robert. The party's just starting. Besides, I have a birthday present for you. Here it is. A gun.
What?
A nice, light automatic. I'll just lay it here on the table beside me while we play cards.
Henry, this is supposed to be a joke.
I said I had a present for Robert. It's a little unusual, I admit, but it should make the party more exciting. What time does that clock say?
Mother, I don't understand this. Does he actually...
Shh. I don't know.
Oh, yes. It's 11:45. Well, that leaves 15 minutes of your birthday still to go, Robert. That's another present, Robert. I'm also giving you the 15 minutes between now and midnight. Your birthday will be over then. Now, you can start dealing the cards, Rosalind.
Yes.
Let's have a good game. After all, this is a birthday party.
Henry, you're making it very difficult for both of us.
It's very simple, Rosalind. Either Robert takes that boat out in 15 minutes... Or at 12 o'clock, I'm going to shoot him.
Shoot.
You understand? Shoot him. It's your turn to play, Robin.
Oh, sorry. I'll play the 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and I'll pick up the six, add it to two others to make a set of three. Well, I win again. What's the matter with you two? You don't seem to have your minds on the game. Why, don't you like to play cards anymore, Robin?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you still think I won't shoot you. Is that it? Is that what you're thinking? You're growing paler, Robert. Your hands are beginning to sweat.
Henry.
Why don't you grab for the gun and see what happens?
Will you stop this nonsense, Henry? Will you stop acting like a child?
9 minutes more, Rosalind. In 9 minutes, you'll find out whether I'm acting or not. You don't think I'm acting, do you, Rosalind?
Well, look, Dad, let's forget the whole thing. I'm going away on the first boat in the morning. I won't come back. I won't come back ever again. But let's forget it now.
Forget it? Why should I forget it? Why should I put up with you? You're a leech. A leech that sucks away the vitality that real men give the world. You're not my son. Look around the walls. Look at that elephant's head, at that tiger. Do you know how close I was to that tiger when I shot it?
Oh, no.
Do you? Huh? Look at those leopard heads. Look at them. Leopards. I walked right up to them in the Brazilian jungle, right up to them.
Yeah, huh? I know, Dad. I know. That's fine.
And I've never broken under any strain. But you will. You will. You've got 8 minutes. That's plenty of time to squirm and beg and feel your heart trembling in your throat. That's what cowards' hearts do, isn't it, Robert? They don't beat, they tremble.
Robert.
Tremble like sick machines that get in the way of a healthy world. Is your heart trembling yet, Robert? Is it?
No, Dad, I'm not a coward.
Will you stop this, Henry? I can't stand it.
I can't either, Rosalind. It makes me sick. Robert, if you're not a coward, why won't you go out in the boat? What is out there that would make you prefer to get shot?
Dad, I think it's time...
Mother, please.
All right, Mother. Dad, it's been a long time since I've been out in the swamp. I've forgotten the landmarks. Yeah, I get lost and...
The only thing you've forgotten is that you're not a woman. Well, you've got 7 minutes now. 7 minutes.
He would get lost, Henry. Lost. It's dark and treacherous out there.
7 minutes, Robert. Why don't you beg me to spare you? Beg me. Beg me. Well, not yet, eh? Well, then I'll take a look and make sure the boat's still there. Then I won't kill you unfairly. Oh, don't look so hopeful, Robert. I'll take the gun with me. There. You'd like me to leave it so you could shoot me in the back, wouldn't you? Well, don't worry. I'm taking it with me. Well, the boat's still out here, Robert, tied to the same post, just as it was 5 years ago. The swamp's still here, too, Robert, anytime you're ready. I guess you're still afraid of water and fog and a couple of drums beating in some native's hut. It's easier to die than be a man, isn't it, Robert? Isn't it? Why don't you beg me, Robert? Beg me!
I'll be patient with him, Robert.
I'll try, Mom.
Well, you're holding up better than I expected. But you won't hold up for long.
Mother, I just don't know what to do with
it. 6 minutes. 6 minutes, Robert. Now it's 5 minutes and 45 seconds. The boat's still out there, Robert. You've got 5 minutes and a half now.
Henry, you're deliberately doing this. You don't have to. You've never been like this before.
So you won't go, eh, Robert? You won't go out in that boat. All right, have it your own way. You can't stand the idea of that swamp. So you'll die. You'll die in 5 minutes. 5 minutes by the clock, Robert. 5 minutes. Hear it ticking. Ticking your life away. It's ticking your life away. Ticking, ticking, ticking. 2 minutes. 1 minute and 55 seconds. Are your hands sweating, Robert?
Henry.
1 minute and 40 seconds. Is it too hot for you, Robert? Is the clock ticking too fast?
Stop that.
1 minute and 30 seconds. You better start thinking, Robert. Your birthday party's nearly over.
I'm going upstairs.
No, stay still, Rosalind. Don't try to call Jesse. One move from you and he won't live for the few seconds he has left.
Henry...
Don't think your sobbing's going to save him this time. 1 minute and 5 seconds, Robert. You still have time to grovel and beg. Now you've less than a minute, Robert. Beg me, beg me, beg me. If your feet haven't touched that boat in 50 seconds, Robert, they'll never touch anything again.
I'm not going, Dad. I'm not going.
Shut up! Don't talk to me. Don't let me hear your yellow voice as yellow as a two-bit coin. My son. Well, you're not my son anymore. You've got 20 seconds, Robert, 20 seconds. Right up there's the same boat, the same swamp. What do you think is in the swamp, Robert? Lions, monsters, ghosts? What's out in that fog? Nothing, I tell you, nothing.
Dad.
You won't take that little boat out and paddle around in the water? You'd rather be shot? Do you think your filthy life's worth living? Do you?
No, Henry, stop it. Shut up. I can't stand it.
Come on, Robert. There's the boat. Scared of the jungle. Scared of swamps. You're not my son. Not the son of Henry Spotter. You're not a man. You're yellow.
There's nothing out there but steam. Just steam, I tell you. There's steam. See, would you rather die than go out in that steam? All right. 5 seconds. 4 seconds. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. What? Now I'm going to shoot you.
Dad, get hold of yourself. There's no gun. You're not holding anything. Huh? And you're not going to shoot anybody.
What? You've taken it. You're a thief, too. Quit pointing at me. Quit pointing it at me. Quit. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of that swamp. What's out there? Just fog, I tell you. I'm not afraid of that stinking swamp.
He's quiet now, Mom.
Yes.
He'll be all right until the doctor's boat gets here.
It's ended. It's over.
Yeah.
I can't stand it any longer. I never thought he would get this bad. He's never been so bad that he'd even dream up a gun.
Maybe I should have taken the boat out.
No. The doctor has always said that was his last illusion, thinking it was you instead of him that was afraid of the swamp.
I know.
He's been accusing you of all his own weaknesses. I guess he was just born without courage, that's all. And he had to talk about it all the time. He's told me 1,000 times about how he shot those 2 leopards in the Brazilian jungle.
Yeah. Poor Dad. He even had his geography wrong.
Yes, I know. You shot that pair in Africa, didn't you?
You have just heard The Birthday Party, as written by Cheryl Hendricks for Attraction 48... on Radio City Playhouse. Charles Penman starred as Henry. Sylvia Davis played Rosalind. Other players were Jimmy Monks as Robert and Paul Arnold as Jesse. The music was composed and conducted by Dr. Roy Shield, and the entire production was under the direction of Harry W. Junkin.
This is Harry Junkin again. Next week on Radio City Playhouse, a thrilling suspense story called Tension in 643 by Alan Sloan. We hope you'll join us and that you will also listen to 8 by Request this Thursday when John Garfield will star in The Door. That's this Thursday, item 4 on 8 by Request. Good night, everybody.
This is Fred Collins speaking, and this is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
A story about courage and cowardice, fathers and sons, from Radio City Playhouse. That was The Birthday Party from July 25, 1949, featuring your announcer Fred Collins of X-1 fame. From the swamps of Louisiana, get ready to step into the inner sanctum in just a moment. You're listening to Old Time Radio Drama, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. a man with a penchant for blades, has a very special one, owned by Rasputin, the celebrated mad monk of the Russian Revolution. There's a mysterious Russian beauty who wants that blade before the next full moon in a story called The Edge of Death. Don't forget the Lipton tea as you enter the inner sanctum for this story from January 15, 1946.
Lipton tea and Lipton soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. Here's your host at the creaking door. Through these portals pass the world's most horrified people. Oh, what's the matter? Did my happy medium startle you? Sorry, I keep him around to get in the right spirit, you know. And now here's a little tale of horror that speaks for itself. The Edge of Death. Written by Frederick Matho and starring Larry Haynes in the role of Ralph. We're going to tell you of a night Satan played a game of murder along a deserted strip of Manhattan's waterfront. For his sport, he chose two friends. For his victim, a woman. And the weapon he suggested, he had long ago placed in the hands of another murderer. The weapon was a long, slender, graceful rapier, which first drew blood at the hand of Rasputin, a mad monk of Russia.
Den! Den, no breath! Open up! Den!
Well, Fritkin, well, come on in, man. What's the matter with you? You're soaked, no hat, no coat.
Den, you're my best friend, my only friend. You've got to help me.
Well, I just got back from Chicago. I was going to drop over to your shop a little later.
You got back too late. You could have helped me. No, it's too late.
Well, what's the matter, Ralph? What have you done? Well, what's that in the package? Why, it's the antique sword I gave you when you were married.
Ralph! Naked steel always looks different. Coated with blood.
Ralph, you fool! You didn't...
Yes. I just pierced a woman's heart with that rapier. About 15 minutes ago.
Warned you about your temper ever since we were kids. You almost killed me once, do you remember?
You warned me about my hobby, too. You said I had
Psychosis. That's what we psychiatrists call it. Your unnatural love of steel blades, your worship of ancient weapons and tempered steel, it's off balance.
There's nothing in the world more beautiful than a piece of true hand-forged steel. It's an art as old as man.
Yes, I know. We've been over all that before, but now you're a murderer. And I want to know everything that happened.
It's too late, Denton. I only
maybe,
came...
Maybe I can dig something out of you that might help your defense. Now, Ralph, close your eyes. Close your eyes and let your mind wander. Tell me the first image you get. Tell me every detail, no matter what.
I see the wedding. Here at your house. The guests have left. Ingrid is blonde and beautiful in white satin. She's standing beside me. And you'll come further.
Denton, it was so good of you to make such a beautiful wedding for us. You are the best man ever.
Oh, no. Maybe the best second best man ever. Ralph was best today.
Well, you gave me some stiff competition, then.
I've got another wedding present for you, Ralph. Mm-hmm. I waited till now to bring it out because I didn't think the others would understand.
Here, open it.
Do you like it, Ralph? Is it a good one?
This is a good one. Why, it's the most beautiful rapier I've ever seen. The balance and the lines. Magnificent steel.
Look, look, Ingrid. Isn't it wonderful?
It will be the very nicest sword in your collection, darling. As well as your last.
His last?
Oh, yes, then. I promised Ingrid no more auctions.
And he'll keep his promise this time. I'm going to change, darling. Won't take me long.
All right, darling, hurry.
You really like that blade, don't you, Ralph?
Like it. It's beautiful. Where did you find it?
Well, I saw it yesterday in a small, junky antique shop in the village. A little Russian fellow runs it.
Oh, did he tell you anything about the blade? I mean, where he got it?
No, but he said it was Russian. He said the hilt was black lacquer on rosewood and the steel was superior.
Wow, he said something there.
He mumbled on about wanting to get rid of it before the full moon. Something about it being an evil thing. He claimed it once belonged to Rasputin, the mad monk of Russia.
See, I wonder if it did.
I doubt it. Anyhow, we finished by saying that whoever owned it would have evil luck, and failing to get rid of it before the full moon would die by violence. I'll take it back to him if you like, Ralph.
No, not on your life, then. But don't mention that nonsense to Ingrid, will you?
I remember all that myself, Ralph. I left for Chicago that night. Now, what's the next thing that comes to your mind as important?
Well, about 3 weeks ago, I was working on some knives in the shop. Ingrid had left. I was alone. The shop door opened, and she was there.
She? Who, Rob?
Stasha. She was beautiful. Tall, white as marble, dressed in black, and beautiful.
I beg your pardon. What did you say?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You said beautiful. There's no cause to be embarrassed. I have heard this said before.
What can I do for you, Miss...
Kostov. Stasia Kostov. You own something that I would like to buy.
Oh, what is it?
A rapier. A Russian rapier. I saw it in your window as I passed.
It's not for sale.
Oh, really? Are you sure? I will pay you well. Say, $100.
Sorry.
Very well. Perhaps you might change your mind. Here. Here is my card. Come and see me if you do.
Well, thanks, but I...
Shall we say before the next full moon, Ralph?
Ralph, if it weren't for that bloodstained rapier on the table, I'd say you were lying. How could this woman know your name or anything about the legend of the rapier?
I know how.
What happened then, Ralph?
I've handled steel all my life. I've forged it, pounded it, tempered it, ground it to razor edge, and I've never cut myself. After Stasha left, I put the rapier to the stone. And as I worked, I kept seeing her eyes in the forge fire. Glinting with evil beauty. I kept hearing her voice.
Ralph, shall we say before the full moon?
I turned suddenly to see if she was there. And I tripped. The rapier fell and I fell against the upturned point. Ah!
Ralph!
Ralph!
Ralph! Ralph, what's happened? Ralph!
I'm all right. Pull it out. Straight out.
Oh, no. No, I can't do that.
All right, I'll do it then. Do it.
Oh. Ralph, your arm is all blood.
No, it's not bad. It just passed with flesh. Call Dr. Burns.
Oh, those stupid knives. Why don't you get rid of them?
Well, Ingrid phoned. It cracked over me that means certainly that my fate was tied to Stasha Kasov's. That death was lunging at us with Rasputin's rapier. And I was unarmed. I told Ingrid about the woman. I told her about Stasia's offer of $100 for the blade. I shouldn't have.
And to turn down $100 for it? Ralph, that's the limit.
Edward, I can't expect everyone to understand some things about my character, but I do expect you to try.
I think I do understand, Ralph. I think you didn't want to sell that thing because you want that woman to come back.
That was your first quarrel, Ralph?
Yes. There were lots more. Things got worse. We quarreled a lot. It wasn't Ingrid's fault. I was changing. I kept thinking of Stasia. Her eyes mocked me. I tore up a card in anger, but I'd memorized the address. It was an old Dutch mansion on Lytton Street. I had to see her again. There was a light in the house. And oddly enough, the front door was open a bit. I rang a long time, but no one answered. I obeyed an impulse and walked in. There was a coal fire going in the high-ceilinged living room. It cast dancing shadows on a life-sized oil painting above. A cold hand gripped my heart when I saw that painting. It was the painting of a man in a monk's habit. And his gnarled hand rested on the hilt of a jeweled rapier of exquisite beauty.
Yes, the man in the picture is long dead. But his mad spirit is in this room. It laughs from within you, Ralph Witkun. It has seized your body.
Stasia.
So the Kossoff woman convinced you that the spirit or the ghost of Rasputin had taken possession of your body. And you fell for it.
Oh, I fought against believing it, Denton. But it did explain so many of the strange promptings that had been stirring me all up inside.
Did she say anything more about it?
No. I turned to face her. She was a smiling column of white beauty, sheathed in black satin. Miss Kossoff, how is...
Stasia. Call me Stasia.
How is it you know my name? What do you know about the rapier?
Does it matter? You have changed your mind, perhaps, about selling me your rapier?
No, I came to ask you about it.
Oh, you came because you are confused. We will discuss it. But first, let us have some tea. Yes?
I examined the room while she was out of it. On the wall across from the fireplace were five oil paintings. All of them portraits of men. At first, I thought the light was playing tricks. It wasn't. Each face was painted with closed eyes. Each was a study in sleep. Or death.
You like my painting? Come and sit down. We'll have tea and talk.
Who are those men you painted, Stasia?
The five men you see in those paintings, each own the rapier you now possess.
Good Lord. Then they're...
dead.
And the dates on the paintings?
Those are the dates on which they died, Rolf. Each on a day of the full moon. Each kept the rapier beyond the time he should have. More tea?
Stasia's eyes were eager and wide. My ears began to ring. I recall setting the cup down. I remember Stasia's voice a long way.
Russian tea from my friend, and so a Russian legend.
This is all so fantastic, Ralph. Are you sure it wasn't something you dreamed?
Something I dreamed? No, she drugged me. It was no dream. Those portraits were no dream. The painting of Rasputin was no dream. They were there when I woke. Stasia was gone. The fire was on. My head ached. It was an easel near the lamp. It hadn't been there before. I shuffled toward him. There was a fresh painting on the easel. I stared at the face before me. Its eyes were closed in sleep. The face was mine. There was a date painted in them. It was January 15th.
Or
yes. Yes, that's tonight. I couldn't find Stasia, so I dashed out of the house, cursing like a madman. It was 4 a.m. when I reached home. Ingrid was waiting for me. She was crying.
Ralph! Ralph, darling, where have you been?
Why? What difference does it make?
You've been to see that Kossoff woman.
Yes, yes, I've been to see that Kossoff woman.
Ralph.
I had to. I'm losing my mind, Ingrid. Something's trying to kill me. That woman knows about it. She knows how and when it'll happen. And the funny thing is, I don't care anymore. I don't care.
Ralph, where are you going?
Back to the shop. Back to that cursed rapier.
In the shop, I tried to reason the thing out. I was toying with rapier. It was a tiny green speck on a black hilt. Idly, I picked at it with my thumbnail, and the chip of lacquer snapped off. The hilt was supposed to be wood. But here was what looked like a large emerald. My heart pounding, I chipped and picked at the lacquer until bit by bit I uncovered the most dazzling and richly wrought collection of jewels I'd ever seen. Set in solid gold were pearls, rubies, emeralds, and a magnificent star sapphire. This was the bejeweled blade that Rasputin held in his hand in Stasia's painting. This was Rasputin's ring. I returned to Stasia's house. Like the first night, the door was ajar. Like the first night, I walked in. I walked into the living room. I looked about. Nothing had changed. Nothing, that is, except that mine was the sixth painting, now hung beside the others. And the easel already had a fresh canvas. Stasia was already painting in the portrait. The face was indistinct, but the date was clear. 1 lunar month from tonight. I gave up and walked home with the rapier under my arm. It was drizzling and foggy along the waterfront, and I was sick inside. I kept hearing Stasia's voice locked in my brain.
Tonight is the last night you may own the rapier, Ralph. But there is a way out.
A way out? How? There's no way out as long as either of us live.
There is a way out, Ralph. Kill her and come to me. Tonight is the night of the full moon, Ralph. If I own the rapier, you will be safe. Kill her, Ralph. Kill her and come to me.
Somebody's following me. A woman. I could hear her high heels on the cobblestones. I'd just passed that little blind alley. You know, the one about a block away from my shop. I decided to trick her. I stopped short. I spun around and caught sight of a woman in black as she darted into the alley. It was Stasia. And there was no exit from that alley. I tiptoed to the entrance and leaped into its shadows. All I could see was a large empty carton against the far wall. She had to be behind that. I gripped the jeweled handle of the rapier until it burned my hand. Only one searing thought in my tired mind. Stasia must die. I took a deep breath and drew the needle-pointed steel back, aimed at where I judged a heart to be, and thrust.
Oh.
I drew the blade out, and the body slumped forward. I lit a match to see her face. But it wasn't Stasia Kossoff I had killed. It was Ingrid. My wife. Ingrid.
It works. Stasia, it worked. My plan worked. Ralph reacted just as I planned it.
You mean he did it? Killed her?
A psychological masterpiece. He told me the whole story at my office 10 minutes ago. He killed her thinking it was you.
Well, now that she is gone, you are happy. You will love me and forget her then.
Oh, perfect, perfect. She picked that stupid fool instead of me. Now she's dead, and he'll die too.
Oh, Denton, I am so glad. I would do anything.
Everything
for you.
Went like clockwork. This rapier I found in your attic, the legend I made up, the phony paintings of former owners, your flirtation. Yes. Perfect, perfect. The perfect murder. I've done it.
Did my acting please you, Denton?
Oh, you were magnificent, but there's only one weakness to my plan, Stasia.
What is it?
When Ralph is picked up, there must be no way for anyone to find out that you and I know each other, Stasia. Oh,
no, and no one will know, darling.
Ralph's fingerprints are still on this rapier. He'll be electrocuted for one murder. Might as well be for two.
Denton! No! I love you!
I'm sorry, Stasia!
I love you. Still. I will wait for you.
Very neat stroke, then.
Ralph!
I heard everything you said, Denton. But I didn't have to, I knew. Now, don't move. The gun is faster than a rapier.
How did you know, Ralph? Something I said tonight?
No. No, something I saw. Stasia loved you. The painting I saw on her easel tonight, the one I told you she'd begun, was your portrait. The only way I knew was because, as an artist, she was conscious of the scar on your forehead. She painted that in first.
The scar you gave me as a kid. Oh, you've a lot more brains than I gave you credit for, but at least we'll burn together.
Sorry, Denton. I'll have to decline that honor.
Oh! Ralph, am I too late?
Ingrid. No, you're dead. Ralph. Everything you told me at my house tonight was a lie.
No, Denton. Your plan almost worked. I told you the truth. Except for the part about murdering Ingrid.
You should have studied psychiatry, Ralph.
I did, Denton. I had a good teacher. You.
Are we going home soon, darling?
Uh-huh.
You seem so far away, Ralph. Is anything wrong?
No. No. I've been thinking about Denton. Odd the way things turned out. He made up that story about the rapier and its belonging to Rasputin and its owners dying on the night of the full moon.
You don't believe it, do you?
No. But what he thought was a cheap blade turns out to be a priceless treasure. It matches the one Rasputin held in his hand in the painting.
That was coincidence, darling. Come on, now put your work away. Let's go home. It's late.
Mm-hmm.
Such a beautiful night, Ralph. Let's walk home.
All right. You know that painting Stasia started of Denton, the one that gave his plot away?
Yes.
It had a date on it. I wonder what ghostly hand guided her brush as she wrote that date.
Why?
The date she wrote was today's. There's a full moon. And tonight was the night Denton was electrocuted.
Well, wouldn't you say that's a story which gets down to fine points? Happy ending, too. Yes, you get a ghost-to-ghost hookup between Stasia and Denton. Ralph and Ingrid get an Exhibit A worth a few bucks and go back to the old grind.
Well, I'm glad Danton's plot didn't work.
Yes, Mary, but if it had, Ralph would have had a plot of his own, you know, in the cemetery. After all, that's one of the best-selling plots I know of.
Oh, nonsense, Mr. Host. If you think that's the kind of thought we want to leave our Lipton listeners with, you're quite wrong. Here's a much better thought for folks to carry away with them. Tomorrow, when you visit the grocer's, get a package of Lipton tea. Buy it, try it, and see if you don't agree that Lipton's brisk flavor gives you extra enjoyment. Oh, yes, there's a great treat in store for you when you first taste Lipton's full-bodied, zestful goodness. Ask your grocer for a package of Lipton tea tomorrow.
And now, friends, in case you're wondering, we do have a moral for tonight's story. It's short and sharp. Knife can be beautiful if you keep your temper. And look out for people with an axe to grind. They may be trying to get ahead of you. Oh, by the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is The Pavilion by Hilda Lawrence. And next week, the makers of Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup bring you another grisly Inner Sanctum tale directed by Hyman Brown and titled The Confession. And now, if you'll excuse me, I have an appointment with Stasia and Denton. Yes, they've got the concession for hand-forged hinges where it's hotter than the hinges of... Until next Tuesday, then. Good night. Pleasant dreams.
A few twists in the edge of death. A story from the Inner Sanctum, and it came to us from January 15, 1946, and is our final foray for old-time radio drama for this Saturday night. We'll have more tomorrow night, and I'm Norman Gilliland, hoping you'll join me between 8 and 11 by the glow of your radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.